The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material, you can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross? The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me on this Friday afternoon. And because it's Friday, you know what that means. We just about abandon all of our screening principles through the rest of the week. We throw the phone lines wide open, and we can talk about just about anything on Fridays. And with that in mind, here is my telephone number, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Quick program note, Joy and I begin a marriage weekend tonight down at New Life Baptist Church in Grove City. New Life Baptist in Grove City and Bible Baptist of Marysville are going together, combining for a marriage weekend. They have invited Joy and I in, and we are looking forward. Sweetheart banquet tonight, and then a full conference tomorrow, beginning tomorrow morning. So you would be welcome. I'm sure you don't have to register. It is being held at New Life Baptist Church in Grove City. Grove City. Tonight, banquet starts at 6:30. Tomorrow morning, I think we kick off at 9:30, I think, in the morning. Again, love to have you. And we would love to come to your church. We would love to. Joy and I love to be out every single weekend. We love doing the marriage conferences. Hey, we're not experts on anything. I want you to know that. And we don't do a marriage conference saying, hey, we're the experts. Do what we've done. Not in any way, shape, or form. However, by God's grace, I want to make that clear. By God's grace, God has given us now over 50 years of marriage. And I'm not over that. I am still just in amazement because approximately 95% of all couples in America do not make it to number 50 for many reasons. It could be divorce. It could be death. Joy and I both have some very dear friends. Their spouses have passed away just recently. They were close to 50, but they didn't make it. And Joy and I are so incredibly aware of God's grace in our lives. And so anyway, we don't claim to be experts on anything, but we do have biblical principles that have sustained us now, I can say, for more than 50 years. So we love doing the marriage conferences. We love doing Crosspower weekends. We'll be traveling all over. Soon we'll be in Seymour, Indiana in a few weeks, doing a Crosspower weekend at a wonderful church over in Indiana. Anyway, we would love to come to your church. You can find out more information at crosspower.net. Crosspower.net. Would appreciate your prayers for the marriage weekend tonight and tomorrow. If you listen to the program, you know I usually have no problem whatsoever with coming up with an opinion. But occasionally, I'm a little ambivalent. And I am on this story. I am on this story. Here's the headline from here in Columbus. Runner disqualified over a hijab inspires new Ohio legislation. It's basically the story of one girl. And number one, I'm troubled when there is legislation to deal with one incident. I think that's kind of shaky ground for legislation in order to deal with one incident. A runner at Sylvania Northview is a Muslim, and she wears a hijab, the traditional Muslim head covering. I'm looking at a picture. It's very sporty. It has the Nike swoosh on the side. But according to some high school athletic associations in the state of Ohio, that is not acceptable. You can't have headwear. And she was disqualified. She was not allowed to run in a cross-country race. They said that she required a special waiver, which, by the way, can be acquired, but you have to go through the steps and the hoops and the red tape and so forth to get a waiver anyway. Well, a bill was introduced Wednesday that would prohibit school sports regulators from requiring advance waivers or otherwise restricting participants' religious apparel unless it causes a legitimate danger. All right, and here's where I struggle. I am a firm advocate of religious freedom. I don't believe a person should be forced to work on Sunday if they have genuinely held religious convictions about working on Sunday. I don't think they should be forced. If that is their religious conviction, and by the way, not all Christians, not even all evangelical Christians, have a conviction about that, because now in many churches they can go to church on Saturday night. But some people, that is a firmly held religious conviction. It's always been mine, not working on Sunday. But so I don't think they should be forced. Here's the problem. If we begin to limit Muslims in their firmly held religious convictions, then who is to say that we are not next? So there's that side. I am just a strong, strong proponent of religious freedom, including for Muslims. On the other hand, however, I am a very strong proponent of assimilation. When people come to this country, it troubles me that many people come to this country from another country and they want to form their culture. In fact, they want to form their little country. Now, I hope this is not taken wrong, but there are many in the Somali country, culture and community that come to America. They absolutely, positively have no desire to assimilate and become an American. They want Somalia established here. They want to live exactly as they lived in Somalia. They just want to do it in America. They have no intention of becoming an America or assimilating into the culture. It is not our diversity that makes us strong. I read that all the time. I read it, and I don't know whether I'll get to it today or not. But I've got a story in the stack where the proponent says, what makes us strong is our diversity. No, it doesn't. It is our unity that makes us strong, not our diversity. Diversity does not bring strength. May add a little spice to life, but we are not strong because of our diversity. We are strong because of our unity. If we can have unity in our diversity, fine. And so when I see people in the Muslim community who are insisting on a refusal to assimilate and become Americans, this is why France is far, 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 far more liberal than America, but there are many areas in France where Muslim headgear, any Muslim headgear, is illegal for women. It's illegal because of the problem of assimilation and the refusal to become French. And so in many areas of France, you would think, being much more liberal than America, they would embrace diversity. No, it's become a real problem. And so women's headgear, religious headgear, is forbidden. So, like I said, I'm reporting it to you. This is a bill that has been proposed at the State House. And it troubles me. I do not want to restrict anybody's religious freedom. I honestly don't. But I don't want to create more problems of diversity without unity. If you have thoughts, ideas, give me a call. 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Well, PBS is at it again, with the assistance, of course, of your tax dollars, because PBS does stand for Public Broadcasting Service. Yeah. There is an agenda, folks, and most of you know this, there is an agenda to program your kids to believe that the abnormal is normal. You remember, it's been about a year ago, the PBS cartoon Arthur hosted a gay wedding. Arthur's teacher, I believe he was a math teacher, married his husband, and that was a part of Arthur. Remember that? Well, now it's Clifford the Big Red Dog. And, you know, this is it's disturbing. It's heartbreaking. I mean, it really is. It is heartbreaking. When you think of public television, you would think it would be safe for kids, safe for children. Yeah, well, here's the story. The beloved animated show Clifford the Big Red Dog in recent weeks became the second PBS kids series with a recurring LGBT character when one of Emily Elizabeth's friends brought her two moms to a dinner party. Now, if you're not familiar with Clifford the Big Red Dog, Clifford the Big Red Dog is about as big as a house. And he is, well, we can't say owned anymore because that's politically incorrect. He is the Can we say pet? I don't think we can say that anymore either. He's the furry friend of Emily Elizabeth, who was the key character. And Clifford the Big Red Dog is this cute, lovable, fluffy, big dog. But the liberal left has an agenda. Quote, the series, based on a popular Scholastic book character, follows the exploits of an energetic girl named Emily Elizabeth and her giant red dog, Clifford, who is the size of a house. It was rebooted by PBS and Amazon Prime last year with new animation and new voices. It is within this reboot that two lesbian characters were introduced. Although, and listen to this, this is important. Although it may not be obvious to many children. You see, too blatant, too in your face would gain protest. So it's slight, it's subtle. Just so your children and your grandchildren will watch it and think having two mommies is normal. Again, quoting from the article, in the episode, The Big Red Tomato Dog Bot, Emily Elizabeth holds an outdoor dinner party for her friend Samantha. When the dinner is set to begin, Samantha walks up with her two mothers. Won't you please join us? Emily Elizabeth asks. It would be our pleasure, one of the women replies. Ooh, something smells delicious. In other words, it's not. It would be more honest if Emily Elizabeth said, you have two mommies? Well, that's unusual. You have two mothers? No. It's just, this is normal. It's just normal. Samantha and her two moms then prepare to sit down and eat dinner with Emily Elizabeth and her mom as Clifford watches. The two moms are not identified within the episode, but in the credits calls them Dr. Mulberry and Ms. Mulberry. In subsequent episodes, Samantha calls each of the women Mom. In an episode titled The Birdwell Island Blues, The Big Red World, she calls Dr. Mulberry Mom, and in Making Lemonade Out of Lemonades, The Watering Hole, she calls Ms. Mulberry Mom. Folks, please don't be naive. Be careful what your kids watch. There is a concerted, intentional agenda to make the abnormal normal. This is PBS. Now, it's not completely underwritten by your tax dollars, but a considerable amount of American tax dollars are going for programming like this. These are the days we live in, folks. These are the days we live in. All right. We'll be back.